This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
It's clear from the growing body of evidence that mental health services are optimized when providers with backgrounds in primary health care and in mental health care work collaboratively with consumers, their families, and caregivers toward the attainment of goals set by the consumer. Mental health is an integral component of primary health care. Further, there's growing awareness that collaborative care depends on consumer, client, or patient participation in all aspects of self-care, including assessment, intervention, decision-making, and management.
The 16th Annual Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference was held in Calgary, Alberta in June 2015. A presentation called The Real Deal, Honoring Lived Experiences, included three individuals who shared their experiences with collaborative mental health care. They also offered reflections on successes and challenges involved in the collaborative model of care. Here is Dr. Christine Lilo, the conference co-chair, introducing the third speaker, Lisa Pipegrass.
I'm Dr. Christine Lilo, and I'm a family physician in community practice, and I also work as a medical director for the South Calgary Primary Care Network, who is a major sponsor for the conference. One of the things that we wanted to do was to ask individuals with lived experience to join us during the conference. During our conversations leading up to today's event, one of the things that came up was, I want to make sure that people know that I'm credible when I talk about the mental health space. And my response was that if you have been going through your journey for 5, 10, 15 years, or you've accessed mental health care once, you're still credible to providers, because the perceptions that patients have around the mental health care that we provide and assist them with are important. And it doesn't matter how much experience you have, it's still important. So I think we can all come from that place today. I used the word patient, and one of the things that we asked our panelists about during the prep was to say, what do you think about that word? What do you think about the word client? What do you think about the word consumer? And so I hope that's something we can use during our discussion time at the end of the talks. And finally, we have Lisa Pipegrass, who was born in Vancouver and raised in Calgary. Her mother passed away suddenly when Lisa was 13. She graduated high school and attended university for liberal arts. Outside of school, she trained to become an opera singer. Around the age of 25, she quit her studies just 4 courses shy of her degree and gave up on singing as a career. She left the country and bopped around from city to city for quite a few years. She's bright, talented, articulate, and interested in life and people, and was perplexed then at her seemingly chronic state of underachievement. Through serendipity and tenacity, she very gratefully was finally made aware of a possible cause for her frustrating and baffling ways of operating and behaving. Thus, upon her return to Alberta, she began the journey of addressing her symptoms and subsequent drama caused by her raging case of ADD. Her words.
Hello. This is very exciting for me. Haven't done this since, like, a long time ago. I come back to Calgary, and I say, I know I have ADD, and I've been on the internet, it's got to be true. I go to my room, and I have a nap, and like 6 months later, I say, okay, I'm going to get my Alberta healthcare finally. And I had procrastinated on it. I thought, it's just going to be a big pain in my behind. They're going to want all this back money that I owe. So I go to AMA, and I'm like, okay, I need my health care. Like, fill out this form, show us your driver's license, and you got it. Really? So I have to say, that's a success. I was really happy about that. Don't owe any money, don't have to pay any money, and bippity-boppity-boo, I got it. Then I heard, it's impossible to get a physician in this town. If you don't have one now, you're on a waiting list forever. You have to go to a walk-in clinic to get any kind of help. It's just so happened, though, that my dad is ancient and has a family doctor, and I've accompanied him to his appointments. And I thought, I'm going to ask this doctor if he'll take me on, even though he's not taking on new patients. And he said, yes, so yay, number two, progress. So I make an appointment, and I say to him, you know, I've been in the States for a long time. I haven't seen a doctor for like 15 years. Maybe I could get, you know, one of those physical things. And he said, okay, well, here's a prescription for lab testing, all right. And I said, and I also have ADD. I've done the research. I would like Ritalin, please. And he said, all right, here is a website. You have to go and fill out this questionnaire on ADD. I said, I've filled this out, but I will do it. And so I go home, and I fill it all out, and I go back. I've passed with flying colors. ADD, yes. So he's like, here's your prescription for Ritalin. So I get that filled, and I start taking it. Definitely, I feel a change. I feel focused. I feel peaceful. But, you know, apparently, like, I had ADD for like 40 years, and my life was underwhelming. And I had depression, which is comorbid with ADD, I've learned. So I go back and I say, you know, the Ritalin's fine. I think I'm really depressed because watching Netflix is even better than it was before. So how about that? And he said, well, before I prescribe you anything, I'm going to recommend you to this pilot program called Time to Talk, and you get 6 free appointments with a psychologist or psychologist in training or whatnot. And I said, no problem. I'm happy to do that. I would like to get better. So I go to that appointment, and I tell her about my history. And she agreed, yeah, I think definitely based on what you've told me, you've had AD. Because there's part of me that, you know, I grew up with a generation gap, right? My dad grew up sort of during the Depression and whatnot, and a lot of cynicism and skepticism about drugs and whatnot. And so there was a part of me that was like, you know, ADD doesn't really exist. And if it does exist, maybe I have it, maybe I don't. There's no way to tell. A questionnaire, are you kidding me? So I told her this, and I said, I mean, I don't even know if I really am depressed. Like, this feelings that I have are just a logical outcropping of my circumstances. Isn't it just, like, logical? How do you know it's chemical? She said, yeah, I think it is depression. So she wanted me to take Concerta, not Ritalin. No, she wanted me to take Vyvanse, not Ritalin. She said it had a better delivery system. I was like, all right. And to take Wellbutrin, because Wellbutrin sometimes is prescribed for people with ADD on its own. Is it all right? So what I loved is that she then talked to my doctor about what I needed. You know, I like that because it kind of put this pressure, took it off of me to go to him and say, I want more drugs and I want higher doses. And I felt like I had a bit of credibility when she was sort of had my back. So I enjoyed that. So, number three, awesome. So I started taking this medication. And what I know is that pills aren't skills, right? So I recognize that I could feel better, but I had this huge mountain to climb of learning the basics, learning things I did not know how to do because I could never get my act together enough to do anything, like cleaning the kitchen, for example. That was always drama. So my history was I wouldn't do anything for a month, and it'd be a big pile of dishes, and then and it would all be a big disgusting mess. And so then when I go to clean the kitchen, first of all, I don't know how to do it because I never do it. And also, it's like this enormous traumatizing emotional event. And after I get it done, I think, I'm never doing that again. That was awful. So that's an example of a skill that most people have. You know, you just go and you wash your dishes, you put them in the dishwasher, you turn it on, no problem. And every aspect of my life was that. I had to learn how to do everything. And that's okay. It's amazing. The medication, to me, is amazing. Everything is easy. Everything is easier. Getting out of bed is easier. Having a shower is easier. So then I go to the lab, right, and I get my blood work, and because I had complained to him of fatigue, which sure could be the depression or whatever. And so he had all these, lab blood. So I go back to him, and he's reading my lab work, and he's like, your cholesterol's a little high. And he says, your iron's a little low, but you don't have any other, say, signs of anemia. It's all within range. So I'm still on a quest to figure out the cause of your fatigue. All right, that's cool. Can I get a copy of those lab tests? Thank you. I go home, and I'm looking all through them. I'm looking at iron, and the normal range for iron is between 13 and 375. How is that a normal range? That seems crazy to me. But then what's even worse is that I was at 9. Dude, I think I found the cause of my fatigue. I looked on the internet and read all the symptoms of low iron, and I have all of them. Fatigue and muscle weakness and shortness of breath and pale skin and muscle twitches. And another symptom is depression. And I thought, restless leg syndrome. And I thought, have I been chronically low iron like my entire life? Is this the cause? So anyways, I went on a serious clam and liver diet because that's the highest in iron, and because I thought, iron pills, they hurt your stomach. Then the Time to Talk lady says to me, here's these pills at this natural store. They're the best. I got those. So that was nice. I'm glad that she has insight in a variety of things. That was helpful. So then Time to Talk recommended that I go to a brand new support group dealio, and it's called Mental Wellness Recovery Group, and it's run by Magda and Sue, and Sue's right over there. Woo! So I go to this support group, and I really like a support group. I'd never been to one, and it's great. I kind of felt like the variety of people was a little bit diffuse. I felt like I really wanted, in the future, maybe something very ADD-centric. But I really appreciated the evolution of the course. Every session was focused. There was a binder. Every next session built on the last one. I think it's an excellent program. And it did get me out of the house, so I liked that. I did a variety of things that I felt I needed to do to recover more. So I read the self-help books and took the medication, went to therapy, went to support group. In a self-help book, it said, there's this one by Jonathan Haidt, he describes all these different methods across time and space that people have used to be happy. And one is going to church. People who go to church, studies have shown that they are happier. So I'm going to church because that is what happy people do. And so I started doing that. That's cool. I started singing more. I actually did a whole show, 21 songs all on my own. It was amazing. All I'd ever done was like one or two at karaoke. And that was a huge success for me because I committed to doing it, and I showed up to all the rehearsals, and I didn't get so stressed out that I was sick on the night of the performance. And all of that is amazing. So I'm quite happy with my progress and my care. Now that's the end. So thank you.
That was Lisa Pipegrass sharing her collaborative healthcare experiences at the 16th Annual Canadian Collaborative Mental Healthcare Conference in Calgary, Alberta in June 2015.
The next Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference will be held in Kelowna, British Columbia in June 2016. You can find out more online at shared-care.ca. That's shared-care.ca. And we'd like to thank the Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Initiative for content used in the preparation of this segment.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcast on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.